If something's on your mind, making you mad, tips to stay kind, take time to breathe, put your head at ease, and let's talk about it.
So welcome everybody to episode 11 of Talk About a Podcast. This is the second last episode of the season, and in this episode I'll be chatting to Aoife Reese and the incredible cast behind the Sad Excuse for a Teenage Girl film. I'll also be talking to the incredible animator Max Hedrickson about his incredible animation The Oubliette, which I know everybody just admired so much. So we're going to jump right into it. Here we are. I'm excited to get started. As always, I'm delighted to announce that this week's talented young musician is Ishka Jones with his original song, Waste Away. If you like what you hear on this episode, then you should definitely give him a follow on Instagram at Ishka_Jones_. That's U-I-S-C-E for those who don't know Irish, which is the native language of Ireland. Their Instagram can also be found on my own Instagram page at _talkaboutapodcast, where I've posted the announcement of their feature on my podcast. So I came across Ishka on Instagram a few weeks ago, and oh my goodness, guys, he's such a talent. I mean, I absolutely adore this song, and you should definitely support them. They are a great musician, and yeah, definitely go support them. And I really hope you enjoy this song, because I know I do. This is Waste Away by Ishka Jones.
I don't want to ever let you go again. So when I feel I'm losing, I'll pretend to stay, even though I know what's at stake. But I don't know if I can hold this way, yeah. 'Cause every time that you ask me, am I fine? I try to hide. I'm outside in the rain, still waiting, but she never came. And I'll still wait, just to watch you waste away. I wanted to let you know you're not the reason we don't hang out. I wanted to know it's just my head, it's getting me, so I leave you unread. But how could you have left? 'Cause every time that you ask me, am I fine? I try to hide. I'm outside in the rain, still waiting, but she never.
I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined today by the cast and crew behind the incredible short film Sad Excuse for a Teenage Girl. How are we doing, everybody?
Great.
Great, yeah.
Fantastic. I'm so glad to be able to have you all on. Aoife, I feel like this is a full circle moment, because last year I had you on the podcast. We were chatting for the first time and your film won an incredible award in Fresh, and now we're back here again. So yeah, definitely a full circle moment. So tell us a bit about your film this year and where it's taken you.
Well, like last year's film, this one was very personal again, but with more specifics with like growing up and kind of personal more than coronavirus, because everyone was like kind of going through that last year. But this one is kind of a bit more of a personal story of mine that I just wanted to share, wanted to get off my chest. So I wrote it 3 months before turning 18 myself, when I was very kind of anxious about turning 18, because I don't know, I just felt like I wasn't ready to be an adult, even though now that I am 18, I was being completely dramatic and I feel the exact same. but yeah, no, that's where the idea really came from.
I mean, it's such an incredible film, and you, like yourself, I turned 18 a couple of months ago and I was just not ready to turn into an adult. Everyone was saying, are you ready? I was like, no, not in the slightest. But I think it just encapsulated perfectly, like, the idea of, you know, turning 18 and all these kind of books and these movies and TV shows, it's all romanticized and idealized. So for you to make a film about that was just a hit. It hit a lot of people. And I remember coming out of the cinema and a lot of people saying it was one of their favorite films of the day, because it was just so, it was just a fabulous film.
Thank you. Yeah, I really wanted to kind of portray that, like, now that I understand, it's like turning 18 isn't this huge, you don't turn 18 over, well, you do turn 18 overnight, but like you don't turn into an adult overnight.
Aoife discovers how aging works.
Now, I'm no scientist, but I think growing up is kind of more of a gradual thing, not turning 18 itself, but like growing up and kind of becoming an adult is more of a gradual thing. And I think that's what I kind of try to portray through the movie.
I mean, which you did. It was such a fantastic film. PJ, you were the lead actor in this film. Do you want to tell us about the role you played and your experience with this film?
My character was Hugo, and he doesn't have a really great home life, I suppose. That was the kind of draft I was given, and I suppose that's the route I took when I was playing him. Of course, not as well as my co-star Jesse, of course, but Hugo himself, I suppose, he acts, I suppose, a lot older than he actually is. Well, that's the sense I got from him anyways. As in, he'd have, with the life he had, he was supposed to grow up fast, in a way. A little bit of backstory here. I wasn't given that, Aoife didn't give me that much, like, info on his background. So I was just like, you know what? He has a deadbeat mom, and his dad ran off. And I decided, you know what, I'm gonna play into that a bit. If you get what I mean.
And it's so, amazing how you embraced the character. You really did. You embraced everything about the film. But at the beginning of the film, you took Jesse's character. You took her under your wing in the beginning of the film, and it's really just about these two characters running away and just turning, just being childish together in this moment where they're supposed to be adults. Essentially, so what was that kind of like, filming all those really fun scenes? It looks like you just had great fun.
It was, of course, one of the best things I've ever done was making this film, obviously, and I'm grateful for Aoife to actually ask me to do that. It was fantastic, and just filming those scenes, it wasn't work, it never was, it was just fun to do. Just in the dead of night in Grey Island, just like, you know, or Our Lady's Island even, Jesus, just literally just fucking around, pardon my language, just literally doing whatever. It was great, really.
I mean, it was great fun to even watch on screen. I mean, you're even just enjoying it while you're seeing it on screen. It was amazing to witness it in cinema and to see it on RTE. Aoife, what was that like to kind of see your film on RTE and on this massive screen, and to receive the publication, if you will, that came from it?
Like, it is mad. I generally, like, 2-3 years ago, and if you had told me that like I would be on RTE talking about filmmaking and I'd be up there with like the likes of other award-winning filmmakers, I just wouldn't have thought that would have ever have happened, because I like doubted myself so much of being like, oh, I'll never do that, because like that's just, I'm starting filmmaking way too late, like all these things. But then like it's happening and it's great, like, and I'm just so grateful for it all. Like, I can't really express how just fortunate I feel to have these experiences and all my friends being so like helpful and supportive, and just everyone so supportive and helping me like do what I want to do. And I just think it's great and incredible.
And long may the support last. I mean, something that's kind of ran through all the episodes and interviews so far is the fact that everyone was supporting each other and, you know, really commemorating each other for the work that was put into every single short film that were there. I mean, the standard this year, it was through the roof. Jesse, you were saying it was your first time at Fresh this year. What was the experience like and being a part of this film?
It was so crazy. I loved it so much. I've never had that kind of experience before. Being surrounded by so many people who are all so interested and so passionate about the same thing, like I said last time on the podcast. And then even getting to go and watch everyone's films and watch our film on a massive screen, it was so exhilarating. I spent the whole time like clutching at Aoife's hands and also cringing in my seat because I hate watching myself act. But yeah, it was amazing. And it was amazing to be part of the film. Thank you, Aoife. I don't know if I've ever said that to you properly, but like, thank you so much. It's been so great.
No problem.
Well, that was the opportunity. Yeah. I mean, how did acting start for you, Jesse? How did it all, the journey begin?
Oh. Well, that takes me back. So me and Sinead and Aoife and PJ were all in the same drama group, CWYT, and I've been going there since I was 7 years old, and I joined because my mom was like, you should do something, you should do drama. And then my brother had a different drama group, and someone recommended me this one, and I joined and I loved it and I never left and I will never leave. I just, when I'm on stage or when I'm acting or I'm in a production of anything, it's such an amazing feeling. It's really one of the things that gives me like the most pleasure in life. So I'm really glad that me and Aoife have this great relationship where we can use each other for our talents.
I mean, it's amazing. And I love hearing that you all got to know each other through drama, through theater. It's such a fantastic medium to meet so many people. And I know through Fresh this year that so many people have met, and it's just been fantastic. Sinead, do you want to tell us your experience with this film and Fresh this year? What it's all been like?
Yeah, of course. So Fresh Film was like so much fun, and seeing all the different types of people there and the different types of film they were making. Like everybody was saying, the standard was through the roof this year. But as well as that, just all the different types of films, such as like stop motion animation, regular animation, like there was drama, there was documentaries, like it was so diverse, as well as the standard being so high. Working on this film was amazing. And it was kind of like I won't say a last minute decision, but it was kind of pulled together, a lot of it done towards the beginning of production. A lot was done all at once. And I'm just so glad it all worked out, because it's been amazing.
I mean, yeah, it's fantastic. And Aoife, your storytelling is so unique. And I think, Sinead, you kind of touched on it there. Like the story that was told through every filmmaker this year was so unique and special. And it was just amazing to see it, you know, all come together as it did. So Aoife, do you have any tips for young filmmakers listening that don't necessarily know where to start or know what to write about? Because I think that's one of the hardest things. We've talked about here how to start, but not necessarily like the storyline and how to get started on writing good storyline. And you've always said that you write very personally when it comes to your films.
Well, with storytelling, I'd say just tell a story that you know. And take a story that you know of and are familiar with, and then like put your own kind of perspective or spin on it, because like every story out there has already been told. Like because isn't there like only like 7 stories ever with different kind of twists? I heard that somewhere, but I swear I didn't make
it's
that
true.
Up.
No, it's true. I've seen it.
So just like take something that you like, the story that you're passionate about. Like, there's no point in telling a story that you're not passionate and you want told and you want to spread it everywhere and you want to tell everyone. So like just do that and just, I'd say just start writing, because you can't go wrong with writing. Because if I was to show my first script for Dear Naomi, there is no structure. It's just 10 pages of words on a page. Like, there's no character name or anything, stage directions, nothing. It's just words. And like, I learned the hard way that when I got on my first day on my own first film set, and I had no idea what to do because I had no stage directions in. I was like, okay, I handed the script to the actors and I was like, okay, there you go. And they obviously didn't know what to do, like, I hadn't told them anything. And so it's just a really big learning experience. And the more you do it, the better you're going to become at it, and the better you're going to, like, you're going to become more familiar with your style and what you order things that you'd like to do, and just the stories you want to tell in general. Because, like, I like telling personal stories, but that's just thing that I like to do. But someone else could like sci-fi or something, I don't know.
No, it's true. And it's really interesting to hear how you've, you know, developed as a filmmaker throughout the years. I mean, it's been incredible. Even last year, if people want to go back to one of the very first episodes that I've ever did with Aoife, you can see, you know, the progression that's happened and everything. It's been amazing. Can I ask PJ, what was it like acting in this film, and how did you feel you developed from it or grew from it, if you will?
A little bit daunting. This is really like the first kind of big thing I've ever done. Like, I literally did my first play like at Christmas. So this here is like my first proper film, and it was just, it was phenomenal. Like, I can't put it into words. I really can't. It's just, I'll always hold this with me. It's an experience that just can't be replaced. It was just so great.
Oh, that's really wonderful to hear, Peter. You had such an enjoyable experience with it. And do you have any tips for other male actors or any male listening that want to go into theater, to acting, but just don't know how to or where to start? Or do you have any like advice to them?
I'm quite new to this, but I'll give it a shot anyways. I'd say a big problem for me was, when I was just starting off, was just, I'd say, do it. Because a big thing for me was just trying to meet new people, going into this drama group saying, oh God, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? How will I do it? I suppose just do it. Just go all in. And even look locally, because there's probably something on anyway. Or just look up online, look up different groups and clubs. That's really the only advice I can give.
I think that's some of the best advice you can give, Peter. That is sound advice. And Jesse, yourself, how is this? Was this your first short film you've ever acted in? And what advice would you give to other actresses who are aspiring to be in short films and work in theatre?
This actually isn't my first short film. I've actually done another short film, which you can find on Aoife Reese's channel as well. It's called Candid. I will say, though, I do prefer this one.
Yeah.
But no. So sorry, what was the second half of the question?
Advice you could give other actresses or other females aspiring to be working in theatre and working in film.
I think I'm pretty much the same as PJ. I mean, you have to really, really love it, is one of the most important things. It has to be so important for you, because you really have to give all of yourself in a production, whether it be a play or a short film or even a full-length movie, if you ever end up getting to do that. You really have to be able to give all of yourself to your character and to the team that you're working with and the people that you'll be acting with, because otherwise it'll be subpar. And you know, we know that we deserve more than that. The story that you're trying to tell deserves more than that. So really just give as much effort as you can and the product will always be amazing because you gave all of yourself into it.
That's a fantastic advice, and I hope so many people take that away. I mean, it's just been amazing speaking to you because you're all so passionate about what you do. I mean, you all have such love for this project and it just shows. It's been incredible. And, you know, Sinead yourself, how would you encourage people to pursue their passion? I think that's something that's come true so much in every interview. It's just the passion that young people have. So in pursuing that, how would you encourage other people to do it and follow their own passions?
Pursuing passions like this can be hard sometimes, especially if, I mean, we're lucky enough that we know so many people that are interested in this sort of thing. And so getting involved can often feel like it's only a game of who you know. And there is an element of truth to that. Like, you really, having connections can be such a big help. But what I would say to that is, don't be afraid to go get those connections. It's just like PJ said, like, look online, look locally. There's people and they know people, like, especially Ireland. It's a very small country. We tend to know a lot of people in the business, even at a young age like we are now. Respect everybody, like even somebody who you think their role isn't as important, or somebody who you think you're probably not going to meet again. Like, you need to be so respectful and so nice and give each part of the production everything. And the people who you interact with, they will remember that, and they will remember you and your effort and your passion because of that. I think it's so important.
Yeah, that's amazingly said. And I think that's unfortunately something that's forgotten in the film industry. And you put it so well, Sinead, because, you know, unfortunately, it's just so it's a cutthroat industry. Sometimes it can be. So for so many people to congratulate one another and work so well together, it's been amazing to see that throughout Fresh this year. And guys, we're unfortunately running out of time. So I'm going to ask Aoife and Sinead, I'm going to ask you to this question. And it is, what is a quote you live by and why, Sinead, you want to kick us off?
Okay. A quote that I live by in general, not just approaching things as a production manager, where if I had a production manager quote, it would be on time. But a general quote for living and just going through life is always stand up for justice and live with no regrets, because I really think there's just no room for fault in that.
There isn't. Can you tell us, can you elaborate a little bit on that and why you've chosen to share that one?
I just think there's so many times where you can look back and you'll be like, why didn't I just go for that? Why didn't I audition for that? Why didn't I write that? Why didn't I say that? And it's really no way to live, is looking back on all those things and just wishing you'd done other things. So if you take every chance, you're going to miss a lot of them, but you'll get a lot of them too. And always stand up for justice, as in just like, there's a lot of crap happens. You know, and a lot of the time we can feel very hopeless in the face of that. But if you do everything you can know that I did everything I can and there was nothing else that could have been done.
Yeah, so well explained. Thank you so much, Sinead, for sharing that. And Aoife, yourself.
It's similar to Sinead's, but I don't actually have a quote for it. It's just a saying that I just like tell myself, that it's kind of like, what's for you won't pass you. And like, don't get caught up in what never happened, because it obviously didn't happen for a reason. Just those kind of things, because I can think of so many instances where like I was so bummed out about this one thing not happening, and then it turns out to be one of the best things to never happen to me, if that makes sense.
It does. And I think it comes true. Like, it is true. And I've been realizing that myself, like so many things have come full circle. If I'd gone another direction, it wouldn't have happened. So definitely so true, Aoife. And PJ and Jesse, I'm going to ask you the last question. What is one thing you want people to take away from the film and this chat that we've had today? PJ, do you want to kick us off?
One thing I'd like people to take away from the film would be not to be in such a rush to grow up. And turning 18 shouldn't be as daunting as everyone thinks it is. Again, it's your life, live it how you want, and don't be stressed over little things.
I love it. I think that's something really powerful to take away, and hopefully something people remember. If I heard that advice before I turned 18, it would have saved me a lot of stress. Jesse, yourself, what is one thing you would like people to take away from our conversation and the film as well?
Accost random strangers who are in shops at 11:30 because you might end up making a friend for life.
I love that one. I'm so excited for everyone to go and watch the film. Aoife, can the film be found online? If so, where?
Yeah, it can be found on my YouTube channel at Aoife Rees. That's R-E-E-S. No E on the end.
Perfect. Everyone should go watch it. It's such an incredible film, and just everything about it is so heartwarming and just brilliant, and I can't wait for people to watch it who haven't already and watch it again if they had. Guys, it was a pleasure chatting to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So I'm sure by now we have heard so much about the film The Oubliette, but I'm here now so excited to chat to the director and animator behind the film, Max Hendrickson. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh my goodness, my pleasure. Max, I don't think anyone has stopped talking about your film. It is insane. You are such a talented animator, and for anyone who hasn't watched the film yet, I can't wait for them to watch it after this interview, because it is so spectacular and just so detailed. Tell us a bit about it and your inspiration to make this film.
Well, I suppose it all starts with an idea. So I sort of, my first initial concept was just this idea of sort of this big city out in the middle of the sea. And I suppose I just sort of built the story around that, sort of fleshing it out until I had sort of a concise and sort of satisfying story. I mean, it didn't end up making too much sense, but you know, I guess the story sort of revolved around my ideas for locations and stuff and sort of visual design. Yeah, and so I animated it over the course of about a year, and then, yeah.
I think the story makes complete sense. I mean, you won second place at the Fresh Film Festival this year, which is absolutely huge. And from my memory, you won third last year as well.
I won second last year, yeah.
Won second last year as well, which is insane. So 2 years in a row, you're flying high. How's that?
Yeah, thank you. It's such an honor. Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. It's really, really great to get this sort of recognition. And I mean, I suppose it was way more exciting this year because it was all in person, you know, and there's sort of the tension that was, you know, somewhat missing from, you know, just it being online. But yeah, no, it's great. It's such an honor, and I'm really happy to get the recognition.
You deserve every bit of recognition you get, Max. I mean, how did you start as an animator? I think the respect as well for animation, for animators, especially I think this year after chatting to so many people, is through the roof, because the time and the energy and the dedication into every single animation film, and there's been so many of them in Fresh this year, I noticed.
Yeah.
It was insane, and the talent was just unbelievable. So what was it like starting animation for you?
I mean, I suppose I started sort of making animated things just because I didn't really have the sort of, you know, budget or whatever to produce my ideas in live action. So I sort of switched over from, you know, sort of making live action shorts, you know, probably like 4 years ago or so. And I don't know, I suppose it just sort of allows me to sort of create my ideas more freely and have more creative control over the sort of vision of the piece. But yeah, I quite like it.
What are the challenges of animation? Because I myself have made one short film and had trouble making it. I mean, even with people in person. So I can't imagine the work that goes on behind animation. So what's that like?
I suppose it is a lot of work. There's not a whole lot you can do to sort of shortcut the process, but I think the work is sort of the most grueling part of it, because a lot of it's, you know, not that stimulating. but it is really nice to sort of see the whole piece come together, even if it's very slowly. And you know, you do sort of notice progress, even if it is at a snail pace.
How do you start by even making animation film? How do you even start the process? Is it, do you draw everything out by hand? Is it all on software?
Well, so for this film, I started out by just drawing out sort of floor plans for all the locations and buildings and stuff. So then I could sort of plan the shots around these buildings, you know, and sort of how that would work in the geometry of the space. And then I could just sort of design all the buildings in 3D software. And then sort of once all the sets were built and I was happy with the look of it, I could just sort of draw over the backgrounds, you know, draw in the character, which was done on a computer with them. I had this sort of drawing tablet with a pen, which is very nice. So I think that saved a lot of time rather than doing it, you know, on paper and sort of scanning in every piece of paper, but, you know, it still took a while.
And you were saying it took a year to make this?
Well, not really. Like a year from like the initial concept, I'd say, but, you know, I wasn't working 9 to 5 on it.
Yeah, I say the dedication though that has to go in behind making any animation, but especially one that takes a year long. What has been your longest project so far?
I'd say this one. I mean, it's usually like I usually work towards you know, fresh as a deadline. So you know, once I'm finished with the film and happy with it, I just wait to, you know, until an idea comes and then I can move on to the next one. But it's sort of a nice routine, I guess, because then I have the summer to sort of work on the film, and then towards the fresh deadline usually gets a little more hectic. But yeah, this has been sort of the most labor, I'd say, out of a thing I've worked on.
And you've definitely been rewarded for it, I think, Max. I mean, second place is such a title in the Fresh Film Festival this year. And you've said it, we've mentioned that you've entered Fresh before, and you have for a few years now, I believe. So what was it like this year being in Fresh in person after, you know, the pandemic hitting everyone so hard?
Yeah, I mean, it was great. It was really it was really great to just be there and see all the people that I've sort of seen their films, you know, in the online versions and stuff. And like the whole RTE production really, you know, made it all that much more exciting. And you know, sort of the red carpet and everything. It was just sort of like, you know, the contrast between just it being online was, you know, very prominent.
Yeah, I mean, it's been incredible to have that kind of recognition for every filmmaker, you know, that entered Fresh this year, and for everyone to kind of get the awards that they have is insane. But yeah, you yourself as an animator, I think there's so much. I think Nelly kind of hit the nail on the head in her interview. She kind of mentioned that, you know, when you think of animation, you think of animation for kids. And when I went into Fresh and I saw there was going to be animation films, I don't really watch animation films. I'm going to be completely honest with you, Max. It's not that I don't enjoy them. It's just that I don't necessarily, not the first thing I go to when I think I'm going to switch off and watch a film. So for me to be necessarily forced to sit down and watch animation films, I honestly didn't think I'd enjoy them as much as I did this year. They were insane, and yours included. So for yourself, how did you find animation? How did you come across animation? And how do you think Fresh promotes other animators like yourself?
I mean, I sort of just came across animation from watching a lot of sort of animated films. I mean, I suppose I sort of lucky in that I got to see a lot of, you know, sort of contemporary and art house animated films as a kid, which I suppose sort of gave me an idea that it wasn't just, you know, all sort of kid stuff. You know, some of it was actually sort of more nuanced and sort of interesting than, you know, just sort of a corporate kid show or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just seeing all the animated films this year as well was really, really incredible. you know, it's great to see loads of other people, you know, sort of getting into it, because it can be sort of a steep learning curve, because it sort of feels like you don't know where to start. And, you know, if you want to do it with computer software, it's sort of, you know, difficult to find out, you know, what's the best thing to start on, and do I have to spend loads of money or whatever? And, you know, doing it on paper is just so much work that it can seem daunting. You know, I think it's sort of harder to get into rather than just, you know, picking up a camera and making a film with your friends.
Yeah, that's what I've asked a lot of filmmakers this year. I was like, look, any tips for young filmmakers, what would they be? And they said, pick up a camera and do it. But you've said it exactly there. I mean, animation is much trickier than that. So what are your tips for aspiring animators and people who just want to get interested in animation but just don't really know how to start?
I mean, I suppose a great place to start is there's loads of books on the topic. One of them, sort of my biggest reference, is a book called The Animator's Survival Kit, which is, it's just sort of, it's by an old Warner Brothers animator, I think. But it's really, it sort of just goes over all the theory behind it. And, you know, that's a great sort of resource to get started on. And then, you know, I'd say probably get started on, you know, a smartphone app or something just to get the hang of it, or on paper if you want to, you know, sort of do it traditionally. But I don't know. I think there's loads of resources out of there, you know, loads of resources that are available.
Definitely. And Fresh have some on their page as well, and I'll link their website down below in the description box for people to check out. But you've made a film called FOMO with Kevin Meggs, and Kevin Meggs also won Best Screenplay this year at the Fresh Film Festival with his film Sunday. And I believe you did some editing on that film also. Yes. But you made a film with Kevin, was it last year, called FOMO? And it has to be, it was a film I went into, I watched it because Kevin's a good friend of mine. I was like, oh, this would be interesting. And I didn't expect the animation side from it, but it blew my mind because I never thought of a film being animation and in person. So what was that like, tackling that kind of project and putting the two together?
Yeah, I mean, that was such a fun project to work on, because it wasn't really, you know, it's only like a minute or two of animation. So it's really sort of, you know, loose and not a huge sort of undertaking. But it was really like we went out and shot it just one of the days. Like we got it all done in like an afternoon, which is great. And then, you know, we just sort of worked very closely on, you know, sort of me sending him stuff, and we'd go on a bunch of Zoom calls and I'd show him what I'm working on. And, you know, so I suppose it was sort of a perfect blend of our creative visions. You know, it was a pretty perfect collaboration. Yeah.
And blend is the exact word, because it just flows so effortlessly. I mean, the film is just, it's brilliant, and it tells such a fascinating story. And it really is your style of animation. That's something that struck me at Fresh this year. Everyone had a different style of animation, which was, for me, as someone who was going in not knowing much about animation and now having learned so much from doing all these kind of interviews, it's amazing to witness and to see all the different types of animation that is.
Yeah, I mean, it's just great. Like, they're so... And I think the thing that sort of comes through overall is just the attention to detail and sort of how well everything serves the story. Like every single animated film was, you know, they're all done so differently, but it was, you know, like all of them were just executed and you know, so expertly and, you know, really just served the story. I was really blown away. It was great.
You're not the only one, Max. I mean, everyone was blown away this year, I think, from what I've heard. I think everyone was just struck by every single film in a different kind of aspect, in a different way. But what interests you about your type of animation? Because someone describes it to me at Fresh, yours was slightly, quote unquote, darker than the rest of the animation, not saying in a mental sense, but when you're watching it, it kind of has a darker tone to it, like it's darker colors. Where in faces with loads of bright colors, loads of faces coming at you quite literally. And then in Nelly's kind of film, that one that kind of stuck out was it was all kind of bright colors. It was all blues and reds. And there's another animation that was on a whiteboard. So, you know, for yours was just very, very different and very striking. So what interests you about your kind of style of animation? How did you lean towards that kind of style as such?
I mean, I suppose for this film, it's sort of the style was just serving the sort of mood of the sort of world and stuff, because it was sort of an industrialist, you know, sort of spooky city. So I guess having it being black and white and sort of, you know, dark and gritty, you know, sort of texture to it. I mean, I think sort of helped the mood. Like I don't think bright colors would have really matched it as well to sort of enforce that feeling. Yeah.
No, definitely. I agree. I mean, everything just blended so, so well in the film. And tell me, when it comes to animation, is that something you want to pursue in the future?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think there isn't that much scope for like creating or sort of directing animated films unless you're you know, at the top of a studio or something. So most likely if I were to take that path, I'd sort of just end up as a you know, sort of working in a studio, which would be fine, but I think the sort of path I would like to go on is you know, just sort of me creating my own stuff. So live action might be better suited to that.
Okay, that's interesting that you say that. So how would you kind of like to see animation, I suppose, platformed, if that makes sense, in the next few years? Like, how would you like to see animation become more and more not just behind the desk working, not just something that I suppose Disney and Warner Brothers kind of write and pursue, that there's a lot more freelance directors? Because I know it kind of makes a lot more sense when, you know, filmmakers can just pick up a camera and be, you know, freelance directors and do their own kind of thing, where animators, you've mentioned it there, it's a lot tougher, and that was a question I wanted to ask.
I mean, I suppose it sort of just derives from the fact that animation takes so much, you know, hours to do. So it's sort of necessary that it's like a whole team working on it. And it's the same for feature films, but it's less, I mean, I don't really know enough about the industry to, you know, give a really deep opinion on it. But I think it, like, to me, it just feels like, you know, it's sort of more, I mean, other than Pixar stuff, but, you know, it feels like sort of most of the sort of animated movies directed at kids are just sort of, I think animation sort of takes bigger teams just because of the fact that it takes so much work to do, whereas feature films can sort of execute more of a singular vision because it's, you know, just sort of coming from the director, whereas I feel like most animated films sort of, let me try this one more time. I had a point that I was articulating, but...
No worries. Take your time.
I forgot where I was going.
Take your time.
Sorry, would you mind repeating the question just so that I can...
Yeah, I was just intrigued on how you want to see animation developed in the next few years. We kind of touched on there that, you know, big production teams would work behind animation like Pixar and stuff. So how would you like to see, I suppose, not freelance animators, but animators by themselves, like pursue bigger animation films? Because I think everyone that's kind of come on the podcast has kind of said, you know, if you're a director, you can just pick up a camera and start recording. There's always someone who wants to act. But I think for animation, there's a lot more to it. And, you know, it takes a lot more time and dedication. It's not just one person. It has to be a team, like you mentioned. So how would you like to see that kind of develop and grow?
I mean, it would be great to see studios sort of put more funding towards animated films rather than just, you know, sort of cash grab kids films. You know, just like, I think they realize that the money's at, you know, animated films directed towards kids or, you know, just feature films in general, you know, live action. But I don't know, it would be nice to see, you know, some studios sort of more willing to back, you know, weirder animated films, I guess. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
I hope it does, because look, I was disappointed to go into Fresh and not know as much as animation as I had seen. Like in my head, when I thought of animation on screen, I kind of thought of BoJack the Horse and Simpsons. Those were kind of the first two that kind of came to mind. So to see the kind of different styles of animation, I was a bit taken aback, pleasantly taken aback, I might add, and absolutely gobsmacked and wondering what, like, I can't even draw a stick figure. So I was wondering what I was doing in this room watching these animations. I was like, oh my God. So anyone, you know, who has watched the film has said the exact same, and anyone who hasn't yet should go and watch it. No, 100% Max, because honestly, but I think it's so disappointing. For me, I was disappointed in myself to have not watched more animation kind of films. But then I kind of realized I had, but they were all on Pixar. So I was, you know, wanted to get your opinion on, you know, more animators just going out there and just pursuing animation, pursuing short film animations.
Yeah, I suppose just the main thing is funding. You know, because I think it's probably a lot less likely if you come, like, you're like, oh, I have this crazy idea for an animated film and it's got 45,000 faces in it. You know, I think it would be hard, you know, it'd be hard for studios to sort of see as something with, like, that would make the money, you know, which is a shame, but I don't know. Like, you know, they'd be much more eager to get behind, you know, I have this franchise directed at kids that's, you know, Minions or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. But Fresh in animation, I think Fresh have been such a fantastic platform from what I've seen for animators like yourself to kind of just really take their creativity and just run with it in whatever way, shape or form. I mean, it's just incredible the work that they've done. So for you, what's your kind of relationship with Fresh and animation? How's that helped you become the animator you are today?
Fresh has just been so, so great. And, you know, like every single filmmaker who's been in Fresh would probably say the same thing. And it's just, it's so great to, you know, well, the recognition is one thing, but sort of one of the most rewarding things is just seeing other people's reactions to your work and sort of seeing it on the big screen and you know, sort of the test screening, I guess, in front of a you know, a giant audience is just so great. And yeah, I mean, it's just great that Fresh does this. And you know,
Yeah, no, 100% Max. And what was that kind of reaction? What was it, first of all, this is a two-part question. First question, what was it like seeing your film on screen? And second of all, what was it like getting the reaction from people after the film? Because just myself, I've been getting so many people coming up to me and saying how, you know, amazing the film was and what a talented individual you are, all of which I agree with.
Oh, thank you.
So what's that been like for you personally?
I mean, it's just been so great. Like the cinema is such a sort of, you know, it's definitely the best way to see a film, because it's not only, you know, it's not only just for the great picture quality or the sound or whatever, it's that, you know, you're sitting there with however many other people that are watching the same thing as you. And, you know, if it's your own film that's up there, you know, it is sort of great to just see people clap or, you know, I suppose if it's a comedy, laugh at the right bits. And, you know, it just is really, really rewarding. And, you know, I can't thank Fresh enough for, you know, providing that opportunity for so many young filmmakers.
Yeah, definitely. I think so many people have come away saying that the platform that Fresh has made for so many is insane and long may it last. But what's next for you, Max, with animation, with film writing? Where would you love to go next?
I mean, I think I'm going to ride the Fresh train for a couple more years and then possibly film school or something. I don't know.
Short film plans at all?
I mean, I don't really have any ideas that I'm super ready to go ahead with. You know, sort of, I want to flesh out some ideas first before I take the plunge, you know, and that undertaking. So I don't know. no news yet, but.
Well, listen, I cannot wait to see where you go. And I know I'm one of many that are so excited to see your films and to see you just grow as an animator and as a filmmaker in the next couple of years. And we have your name written down, Max, because we know it's going to be up in lights. So we're just waiting for the day. But listen, it's already been an RTE. So you're there. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's incredible. What was it like seeing yourself on RTE?
I mean, it was great. It was like the best part about that was so many, relatives and friends not knowing about it. And then, you know, seeing it by coincidence on the TV and, texting about it or whatever. That was really nice. It was pretty mind blowing. And hopefully that continues for Fresh, because that's such a great thing, both for Fresh and for, you know, all the filmmakers. Like, not only do they get this amazing platform, but it's also on, you know, national TV. So it's really, really great.
100%. And long may it last, Max, because they've done such incredible work and given so many people such a fantastic platform like yourself, and just helped so many filmmakers grow throughout the years. It's been incredible. So unfortunately we're running out of time, so I'm going to ask you the last two questions, but I'm excited to ask them to you, so because I'm really intrigued to hear your answer. What is a quote you live by and why?
I really like this quote from David Lynch. The quote is, "There's always fear of the unknown where there's mystery." Maybe it's not the best mantra to live by, but I sort of like it as a sort of an idea.
You develop on that? Why is that something that you hold close to you, or you remember?
I mean, I suppose it's sort of, I love David Lynch's work, and, I think it is a good sort of quote in terms of, you know, sort of story for film, I guess. Like, I wouldn't say I live by it, but I sort of like the, I like the, sorry, I might have to say that last one again.
Not at all.
Trailed off.
Not at all. Take your time.
I really like David Lynch's work, and I really think this quote appeals to me in terms of, filmmaking, not necessarily, my whole life, but,
It's definitely an interesting one, Max. I hadn't heard it before, but I definitely see where you're coming from. And one thing you would like people to take away from our conversation here today?
I suppose if you haven't already, you should really, make something and enter Fresh, because it's a really, really unique experience. And, I think the best way to get started is to just start making stuff, however small, whether it's live action or, animation. Yeah. And also watch a lot of movies too. That helps.
Do you have any favorite films in particular?
I really like Stanley Kubrick's films. Obviously they're classics, but I like The Shining in particular. That's one of my favorites.
Well, you can't go wrong with the classics anyway, Max. And I just can't wait for the day that I just hope you continue making films, because you have such a talent, and so many people have said it, and I have to say it as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, like, I really truly hope you continue doing the amazing work you're doing, and that everyone goes checks out your film. Oh my goodness, is it up on YouTube, Max? Where can people find it?
It is. It's unlisted on YouTube, but I'll make it public. It's just the Oubliette.
It's public on YouTube, please let me know, and I'm going to share it with everyone, because I think it's going to be such a fantastic film to watch. Grab the popcorn, sit down, and just watch Max's film. Can't wait to see what he does next. Max, it was an absolute pleasure chatting to you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was really a pleasure being on, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh my goodness, my pleasure.
And that is all for part one of this episode. Make sure you go and check out part two right now. It's with Sean Tracy and the cast of The Least I Can Do short film. So go listen to that one right now. It's up now on Spotify and all your podcast platforms. So go and listen to that one. But before you do, please leave a comment. Please rate this podcast. Please start following. It really, really helps boost this podcast, get it reaching more people and getting more young people motivated about music and film and educated about mental health also. So that is all for this episode. Thank you all so much for listening to the very, very end. All the links and short films that we've mentioned in this episode will be in the description box below. So make sure you go check that out. Go and listen now to the very last episode. I will chat to you very, very soon.
Thanks for listening, giving us your time to tune in. Join Emily, same time next week on Talk About It.
The intro and exit music you hear on every episode is by the very talented Hannah Kinsella. She's a singer-songwriter from Ireland in County Dublin. If you want to go show her some support, you can follow her on her Instagram page and YouTube at Busky Bops.